The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This episode is brought to you by my friend Rebecca Walser, a financial expert who can help you protect your wealth. Book your free call with her team by going to friendofdinesh.com. That's friendofdinesh.com. Coming up, I'm going to reveal how the Biden DOJ and the deep state are trying to disqualify Trump from running again on trumped up charges. I'll also argue that the GOP should recognize the seriousness of the threat to all our safety and put forward an aggressive plan to dismantle the Democrats' deep state. Trump spokesman Liz Harrington will join me. We're going to talk, get an insider perspective on the FBI raid and the DOJ's case. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Show.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
The ramifications of the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago continue to reverberate across America. And I'm really delighted to have Liz Harrington, spokesperson for Donald Trump, joining me on the podcast. I do want to mention that Liz has been just dogged on the issue of election integrity. She's been a great friend of 2,000 Mules. I want to acknowledge that and express my appreciation. Hey, Liz, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you. We were just saying a moment ago, the craziness goes on and on and on. Is this the nuttiest thing you've seen yet?
Dinesh, thank you so much for having me. It's so shocking. And I was just, you know, expressing to you, you know, these things are kind of coming. I mean, you don't just steal an election in such a brazen way for nothing, right? You're playing for keeps. But it's still shocking. It just shocks at the core because it's not who our country is. It's not who our people are. And the disconnect between where the country is on both sides of the aisle, the rank and file, just the normal, average, everyday American, and the corrupt powers that are pretending to be in control of our great country has never been greater. And I think that's drawing them to make these brazen actions. They know. I mean, the work you've done with True the Vote also was such a big, I think, breakthrough. But the work continues. And it's not just about that issue, which I think it's been the issue that I've been on. It's an issue that President Trump is not going to give up on, because if we don't have, it's just so fundamental. But there's so many patriots across this country who have not given up on this country and know that we are still a special place in the eyes of God, and that we're still have a purpose, and that the fight is going on. All that work continues, and I think that makes them very nervous. So they do something that's so brazen, so outrageous, so disgusting, that strikes at the core, so anti-American, that to me it seems like they're desperate. And they're going to, I think, awaken even more people and say, this is just wrong. You cannot do this to not just a former president, to do this to the most popular president in our history. Because let's not forget, even if you take their rigged numbers, this is a man who got the most votes of a sitting incumbent president in American history. So if you're coming, you best not miss, right? Someone told me that yesterday. I think it was Amanda Head. That you know, you come for the king, you best not miss. And they're coming, but boy, is the truth on our side, and they're corrupt, and I believe they're going to be exposed.
Well, Liz, you've said a bunch of things that are so interesting. I kind of want to follow up on a number of them. Let me start in a very kind of mundane or prosaic way. What do we know? I mean, I'm trying to follow what is their rationale for doing this. As far as I know, I have not seen the warrant. I haven't seen their stated rationale. Now, the media has tried to sort of say, we'll tell you based on sources what it is. And what it is just downright laughable, which is to say, well, you know, there are these archives and they've got to be sort of kept up to date. Trump evidently has some boxes that belong in the archives. He hasn't returned them. There's classified information in there. I mean, even if all that were true, to use that as a reason to raid his, even if you wanted to get the boxes back, aren't there more civilized ways to get those, get the information back? Was Trump putting up armed resistance to anyone showing up? No. So the brutality of it, I think, is really what unnerved me and so many other people around the country, because this seems to be a vengeful quest. And it's almost as if to say that the January 6th thing, which was kind of their, you know, you talk about coming for the king, that was their big, you know, elephant rifle, so to speak. But I don't know if that's going nowhere, because it looks like they're now trying to open up this new front.
Right. And it's so ridiculous on its face. I mean, you send the armed, you know, Stasi for a couple of papers, boxes of some papers that, you know, anybody that has looked at this issue, you could look at Tom Fitton or a whole host of other people, probably on both sides of the aisle, Alan Dershowitz, in the Presidential Records Act, and he's the president. He was the president. He gets to decide what are his records and what aren't. There's obviously... This has never been done before. Just like I think Kayleigh McEnany was going through the long list, because we should know, again, it's so shocking, but we should see it coming, because they used the Logan Act to go after General Flynn, never before been used. They used the Foreign Asset Registration Act, you know, to go after anybody and their mother who worked for President Trump, even though you have Democrats doing the same thing, and they get nothing. So the two standards of justice are there. They'll drudge up anything. But it's so pathetic. And then the unequal response for what is not even a crime, and contempt of Congress, the same thing. They send, you know, the jackboots over to get Peter Navarro, you know, when he's about to get on a plane, when he lives across the street. And they're in communication with his lawyer. So it is, it's a show of force. It's trying to be to intimidate patriots. It's trying to intimidate anyone who's seeking the truth and just loves the country. And it's trying to send a message. But the message, I think, is not being received in the way they want it to be received. It's actually opening more people's eyes who had the wool over their eyes and said, you know, no, this is just business as usual and things will go back to normal and it's just great. You know, the dollar's tanking, they're shutting off our energy, the border is wide open, people are falling out of planes in Afghanistan, we gave Bagram to China, Russia's, you know, we let them invade Ukraine. All these things are happening, but everyone's still pretending, la, 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 this is great, you know, yay, America's America. No, things are not business as usual. And I think when you have this overt, disgusting display of these corrupt people who, by the way, are every big case we've seen them do recently, they're harassing the innocent and they're framing the innocent. And I mean, the Whitmer plot, January 6th, we still don't know all the answers to those questions of how involved was the FBI. We know, according to the New York Times, they were involved. So in every case, it seems that, you know, the fox is guarding the hen house, right? The crooks are running the crime-fighting unit. It's so corrupt. And you see it in case after case after case. And to do this to the, not just the president, but the leader of the opposition, what would be known as the opposition in any third world country, and that's what President Trump has said now. We are a third world country. To do this in this fashion over something they have no justification for, they're ginning up a fake crime like they always do. And let's not forget, they tried to frame him multiple times with what Joe Biden was doing in Ukraine. We know he was the guilty party. And a lot of other people, guilty parties, with their dealings in Ukraine. They tried to frame him for what the Clintons were doing in Russia and what the Clinton campaign was doing, colluding with Russia. So this could be, once again, their MO, trying to frame somebody for what they themselves are doing. So we have to, you know, just have discernment and look at all this. It's a long answer, but it's just so pathetic when you look at the details and to have anyone in the media even pretending that this is in any way legitimate. I mean, it just shows that they're propaganda for an illegitimate regime.
Yeah, let's take a pause. We'll be right back and pick up this when we get back. I'm just awfully sick about all these ridiculous, stores canceling MyPillow. This is just letting the left bully them into submission. We shouldn't stand for this. But the way to fight back, support Mike Lindell. He's always coming up with new and terrific products. I'm excited to announce the MyPillow sandals. Well, summer's here. You need some waterproof sandals to go to the beach, the pool, wherever. These sandals aren't just practical, they're also super comfortable, almost spongy. We're excited to wear them on the beach next week. Debbie and I are going off for a little getaway. The regular price of these sandals, $79.98. They're discounted now even more at the low price of $29.98 with promo code Dinesh. Call 800-876-0227. That number, 800-876-0227. In fact, you should have the number memorized by now. Or go to mypillow.com. Don't forget to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H, Dinesh. I'm back with Liz Harrington, spokesperson for Donald Trump. We're talking about the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the aftermath and the implications. Liz, what can you tell us about the reaction of, you know, Mar-a-Lago staff, the Trump family, President Trump himself? I mean, I can only envision the scene. Now, of course, I know that the Trumps weren't there. They were perhaps in New Jersey. But here you've got the staff in Mar-a-Lago. You've got all these people showing up. You can see in the photos or in the videos the long rifles they have. And it must have been a surreal scene for the people at Mar-a-Lago. What's your take on what on how they responded, just on to the immediacy of it?
It's just, I think it's shock and disgust and disdain and just, it is surreal. It's, where are we? Is this the United States? This can't be. And I think it's quite shocking. And you're right, no one was there because it's closed for the season. Really, it's just a limited number of staff. I haven't been down there. So many of our staff didn't had any idea this was going on because, you know, no one's there. So to show up like this with the full force and to find out when you're not at home, I mean, maybe it's better that he wasn't at home because it's just so sad, so disgusting what our country's doing. But that's what I think. It's surreal. This is not the United States, and we cannot allow this corruption to continue. That's the thought process, at least in my mind.
I mean, I remember back now, this is, seems unrelated, but is related. Debbie and I flew down to Mar-a-Lago. We played the 2000 Mules. We showed Trump the film prior to, our Mar-a-Lago premiere. And I just remember that his initial reaction was just pure sadness. And it almost seemed like it wasn't just sadness about him. It was sadness that the country is in this state where, our civics book idea of America, fair elections, you go behind the curtain and vote, you can count on someone to honestly tally the numbers. It's like that America is out the window right now. And that's what I want to ask you about. Isn't there a kind of a deep connection between 2020, 2024, and the raid. In other words, the way I think about it is like this. The left knows we thought we beat Trump in 2016, and he beat us. 2020, oops, he beat us again. Now, we might have shenaniganed our way out of that, but we're facing a formidable guy who really beat us twice and is very much inclined to run again. We got to get this guy out of the running. And isn't that really the derangement that is driving all this?
Absolutely, Dinesh. I feel like connecting those things is so crucial, because it is. I mean, what President Trump has exposed is so much corruption and so many people's true colors in all of this. And they can't beat him. They can't beat him because he has the people on his side. So that's why they're using these desperate measures. But you're right, there is this sadness when you do it, start to expose it, because you say, you know, I want to love the FBI. I want to love our institutions. I want to love our justice system. And there are still good people, but where are they, though? Why are they not speaking up? And same thing with our election system. You can't have that scale of corruption. They like to say, there's no evidence of widespread fraud. Oh, it's widespread. It's systemic. You can't do that with, unless a lot of people are looking the other way and just putting their head down and saying, well, I've got my job and I've got this and I've got that. I think that was part of the sadness in watching the movies, because you're on tape. What are you doing? Why isn't anyone coming forward? Why is everyone too scared to come forward? What kind of rot in our system has allowed us to get this far? And I truly believe we're not that far gone. And if people just get more emboldened and have that little self-sacrifice to say, I'm not going to worry about my job. I'm not going to worry about my position. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to live in fear. We're just going to all start doing the right thing. That's how we can fix it. And that's how we can fix so many terrible things that are going wrong in our country right now.
Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Liz Harrington. Are you watching your retirement slip through your hands every day? Are you worried about a black swan market event that could be coming? This is an event that comes out of nowhere and basically decimates your accumulated savings. Well, that's not all. Interest rates are going up, inflation skyrocketing. Well, how do we protect our money? How can you get ahead of what's happening with the economy? This isn't a time to wing it or go with the hunch. You need a qualified expert on your side. Well, I'm not that expert, but my friend Rebecca Walzer is. She's a tax attorney and wealth strategist with her MBA from the London School of Economics. Rebecca and her team will help to prepare you and your money for the turbulent times ahead. We all work hard for our money. We can use some really good guidance to help us build on what we have. Go to friendofdinesh.com and book your complimentary introductory call today to see if you qualify. That's friendofdinesh.com. Let Rebecca Walzer's team of experts protect your wealth during these unprecedented times. I'm back with Trump spokesperson Liz Harrington. We're talking about the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the aftermath. Liz, you had an interview recently where you made the point, this was in connection with election integrity, and you said, quote, we are being vindicated. And I think you were talking about the fact that there are multiple sort of rivers of evidence, important decisions that have come out of places like Wisconsin about mail-in drop boxes, voter integrity laws that have advanced on multiple fronts. But it does seem like the establishment of the Republican Party is still very nervous around that issue. If you were to say, in a sense, let's not worry about what happened in 2020, let's move on, most of them would at least quietly applaud. And but they have rallied to President Trump on this issue of the raid. And so my question is, how do you read the, you know, if we're going to beat the Democrats, we have to do it with the Republicans. There's no other way to do it. There's no other party to look to. My question is, give us your assessment of the Republican Party. What needs to happen? Is there a schism between the kind of MAGA wing of the Republican Party and the establishment? Does the one have to take over the other? Where do you see this going?
Well, I think that disconnect is kind of similar. It's people that have kind of just been very comfortable within the system, a system that is status quo, that's very corrupt. and that is not beholden to the people. And so where there's so much unity, though, is within the party. The actual voters, the people in these states, I mean, the power of President Trump's endorsement is so strong because he speaks for the people and he has a real pulse on where the people in all these various states and all these various positions are. So we are unified. But it's so interesting, Dinesh, because you bring up, there is this more comfort level to kind of talk about Hunter's laptop or talk about the censorship or these other issues, which are huge and go at the heart of the attacks on our First Amendment and everything else. But why not talk about the issue that made the raid possible? There's no raid if you have a free and fair election. There's no border wide open, all these things, inflation, there's none of that if we have a free and fair election. That's what we have to talk about and fix, because, and that's what I think they're very protective of, security state. They're very protective of our elections. They say, oh, no, 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 it was the most secure in history. Oh, you know, Bill Barr says, oh, we looked at things. They didn't look at things. They want to protect the way the system has been run for a long time, because if you pull the curtain back on that, the curtain gets pulled back on everything, and they won't be able to control what else comes out. So that's why I think it's fundamental, and that's why I think the leaders in the Republican Party need to start being responsive to what the voters want, which is free and fair elections. That's all we've ever asked for, is an honest vote, which is what President Trump said from the very beginning.
It seems, Liz, that you're hopeful that this, in fact, will happen. In other words, that there is... And I got to say, it is true, even though I sometimes think about this sort of divide in the party, I speak at a lot of these GOP dinners, and I give a pretty fiery account. I'm obviously anchoring my talk in 2,000 Mules. And I got to tell you, there's not a single dissenter. There's not one guy who walks out. There's not one guy who comes up to me after and goes, Dinesh, you know, I think what you said is totally out of line. It's at the grassroots level, at the it's unanimity. And so it's hard for me to believe that you've got so many guys in the GOP establishment that are so disconnected, but clearly they are.
Right. And I mean, look at Carrie Lake, right? Look at these races that are built on, I mean, she's bold. And this issue, because she's around the people. This is, I mean, and the President Trump's around the people, these rallies. And this is a central issue, and we can't give up on it. Because it's so fundamental that this is where they've corruptly gotten their power, I think, for a very long time. It goes way back beyond 2020. And that's why it's a really big endeavor to fix it. And that's why, again, I applaud you for really the movie and taking Catherine and Greg's and all the patriots over there, taking their work and getting it out there, even with all the censorship, and getting it directly to the in the hands of the people has open a lot of people's eyes, and that fight is continuing. There's more. I mean, there's so much corruption that I think if people realized, and you know, we don't know the full extent of it yet, but if you did, people would really be shocked into action, right? It would be righteous indignation. And that's, again, I think they're really worried about that. That's why they have to go to these measures of these just disgusting raid, which is so shocking. They really crossed a line here. And it's going to have that backfiring effect. And more Republicans, even in power, should take a hard look at it and say, you know, is the country more important than your perch of temporary power? I would hope that more say, yes, the country is.
I think the good news, Liz, is this righteous tsunami of righteous indignation, I think, is right around the corner. Hey, Liz Harrington, thank you so much for joining me. Love to have you back sometime.
Thanks, Dinesh.
Isn't it annoying to see your hard-earned money erode in value as inflation skyrockets? Well, we're all tightening our belts, but many of America's seniors are struggling to survive on fixed incomes. Well, it's not time to panic, but it is time to act. Now, AMAC the Association of Mature American Citizens can and will save you money. 2.3 million freedom-loving Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should, too. Membership comes with amazing benefits, discounts on travel, restaurants, cell phone service, plus great news, anyone can join. Now, AMAC does a lot more than offer senior discounts. AMAC Action takes the challenges against our Constitution and the free market straight to Capitol Hill every day. Joining is easy. Go to amac.us/Dinesh. AMAC fights for America. Become a member today like Debbie and I have. Save money while supporting conservative causes. Go to amac.us/Dinesh now. It's only $16 a year. So join or renew today at amac.us/Dinesh. Very interesting conversation with Liz Harrington, following up on equally interesting conversation yesterday with Trump lawyer Christina Bob. And I think I'm struck listening to both those women about their just sense of incredulity that this is happening in America. A raid on not just a former president, that would be like raiding, you know, George W. Bush's home. Trump remains the leading figure in the Republican Party. He is the most likely contender for 2024. And all of that makes what's happening even more ominous. You've got a regime in which Biden, who ran against Trump in 2020 and might run against Trump in 2024, going after Trump by having the DOJ, having his thugs, having his police force raid Trump's house. Now, it takes a special Trump derangement not to see that this is out of line, especially since no adequate rationale has been supplied. I mean, if you're waiting for a press conference in which Biden and Kamala Harris say, listen, we came up with this new information, there's a grave violation of law, and we were forced to take action and take action now, and not just take action now, but take action in this way, it would not have been enough for us to demand the return of these documents. It would not be enough to go through normal processes. We had to send people with long guns. None of this has even happened. No rationale has really been supplied. There have been these vague references to the archives and classified information. And again, you have to be, you know, almost nuts to think that that's a reasonable justification. I mean, just Trump himself pointed out that Hillary Clinton, you know, deleted an acid wash 33,000 emails after those emails were subpoenaed by Congress. Think about that. What happened to her? Nothing. Not even a raid on her house. Not even an attempt to retrieve all the materials, no investigation, no special counsel, nothing. Trump even points out, quote, she even took antique furniture and other items from the White House. You have to laugh at that because this is how, you know, you can say ghetto the Clintons are. They sort of start ripping off the White House after they leave the place. And Christina Bob made the point very accurately that Trump wouldn't dream of doing that. Why? Because if you look at the furnishings in Mar-a-Lago, they make the White House look a bit like a ghetto. Now, Trump made the following statement, which I saw on social media, and I think it gets to the heart of the matter. Everything this corrupt establishment is doing to me is about preserving their power and control over the American people. Remember, they're coming after me because I'm standing up for you, and they're coming after you. So Trump is saying here, I'm a stand-in, I'm a surrogate for the American people. And the American people are the real target because the American people see Trump as reflecting their aspirations. Now, Trump made the point. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, there's an easy way out for me from all this. And he's speaking, by the way, before the raid. He goes, you know, I can just say that the election was fine. Nothing wrong in the 2020 election. All good. And he goes, the moment I said that, the pressure would be lifted off of me. If I merely assented to what the establishment, the deep state, the administrative state, whatever you want to call it, if I went along, if I played along, they would immediately grant me the same immunities that they grant Hillary Clinton and Obama and even Republicans who are seen as being, you may say, kind of within the fold. Republicans who are operating within the parameters that have been set up by the left and by the media, these are sort of acceptable Republicans. We want an opposition, but it's an opposition that in a sense serves only to consolidate and legitimize our hold on power. This is the mentality of the one-party state. And what Trump is saying is, I'm a problem for the one-party state, and this is why they've got to go after me kind of for anything. So they go after me because I made a phone call. What did you say on the phone call? The phone call is a serious violation of law. Or the planting of evidence. This was a key point from on the Russia collusion business. The evidence was planted. Now, who planted it? Well, the Clinton campaign planted it. But the Clinton campaign planted it with the full knowledge and acquiescence of the deep state, the CIA, the FBI, and the media. I mean, let that sink in for a while, because you now begin to see that even people who seem a little paranoid, oh, the FBI, Dinesh, were raiding Trump's Mar-a-Lago to plant evidence. Well, at first glance, you may go, that's ridiculous. And in an earlier stage of life, I would have responded exactly that way. But I don't now, because we know that the FBI was planting evidence. The FBI was part of the planting of the Russia collusion evidence. That's how they got the FISA warrant. The FBI was involved in planting evidence, or you may say orchestrating, the Whitmer kidnapping plot. These are facts. And so what you have in the FBI is, quite honestly, an organization that was set up to fight organized crime, that is today the largest organized crime syndicate in the world. It is populated with thugs with badges, and taking down this organized crime syndicate is now a matter of urgent national importance. Some of us wish we could rewind the clock when it comes to our health. Exercising, climbing stairs, all the stuff young people take for granted, these aren't things that have to stop just because you age. Neither do you have to endure the normal aging aches and pains. Why? Because now there's a 100% drug-free solution. Try it. It's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. I've seen multiple testimonies of people who've tried Relief Factor. They love it. It works for them. Works for Debbie. She's excited. She gets to do her bar exercise class now that she's alleviated her frozen shoulder thanks to Relief Factor. Debbie's even able to do planks and push-ups. She's like, wow, this is great. I don't want to be without this again. You too can benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more. That number, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. You'll feel the difference. Debbie and I were talking about the FBI either this morning or last evening. And Debbie was saying, you know, how did we get to this point? How did an agency like this that has, you know, been romanticized in movies like The Untouchables probably wasn't like this from the beginning? How did it become this deeply corrupt institution? I know that Bongino and a few others have been discussing the issue of, is it only the FBI leadership that's corrupt, or is it corruption all the way down? Now, I don't think it's corruption all the way down in that the ordinary FBI agent is like on the take. But I do think it's corruption all the way down in the sense that the ordinary FBI agent is still a functionary. And with rare exceptions, they're going to do what they're told. Here's a warrant, go raid this guy's house. They'll do it. So to that degree, it doesn't matter if you're dealing with a corrupt or an honest man. In both cases, they're following orders. In both cases, they will do what they're told. And so what only matters is that the corruption is coming from the top, because the corruption coming from the top is carried out all the way to the bottom. I mean, think of it. This is the FBI that pushed the Russia collusion hoax. It spies on law-abiding Americans. It did not hesitate to lie before the FISA court. It ignored, gave a pass, so it did wink-wink when you had the crimes of the Clinton crime family, ignored Hillary's server escapades, ignored all the crimes of the Biden family collecting money all over the world, sending bagmen from the Biden family using the vice presidential office. The FBI is, in a sense, what? What's going on? Nothing for us to see. persecutes journalists like Project Veritas, treats January 6th trespassers like major terrorists, goes after PTA moms. I mean, this is a sick, really irredeemable agency. And so the point is, how do you get rot that is this bad? I want to suggest that I think it, in a sense, it began in an embryonic form with one man, who J. Edgar Hoover. Now, J. Edgar Hoover was, you know, a massive pervert and weirdo, a cross-dressing homosexual, a blackmailer, and someone who didn't hesitate even to blackmail powerful people, going potentially up to the president himself. He had peculiar relationships with different presidents. FDR sort of liked him because he recognized that J. Edgar Hoover was a complete thug, but he was a thug who's willing to work for FDR. And FDR was like, I could use a thug, especially a thug with a badge. Truman was a little more uncomfortable with this. Truman was more of a straight shooter, kind of a simple guy. He didn't like Hoover. Hoover had a very good relationship with Eisenhower because Eisenhower himself represented the sort of military-industrial complex. Even though Eisenhower warned against it, he was part of it. And Hoover got to expand surveillance greatly with Eisenhower's approval. Eisenhower sort of even allowed Hoover to kind of go around the law because, again, he felt that Hoover was doing, you can call it Eisenhower's bidding, or was doing what's in the national interest. So the corruption of the FBI begins with a deeply corrupt FBI director. Now, there were some reforms after Hoover that were aimed at curtailing. I mean, remember, once it came out, after Hoover's death, by the way, that this guy was, you know, secretly taping JFK, secretly taping Martin Luther King. There was a kind of wave of revulsion, and there were some FBI reforms. But see, I think the problem today is far worse. If the modern corruption of the FBI was to be given a genesis, I would say it happened starting with the Clintons. I mean, the Clintons were basically hooligans. They came out of the corrupt environment of Arkansas. Hillary was a transplant to Arkansas, but she became crookeder, you might say, than any Arkansas scoundrel. They brought that to Washington, D.C. They began the contamination, the corruption of the FBI. It continued under Obama. And now it's been taken to kind of its grim and ugly conclusion, its consummation under Joe Biden and the people around Biden. It's pretty colorful at the grocery store in the produce section, all those vibrant colors of fruits and veggies. A friend, Dr. Douglas Howard at Balance of Nature, explains that all those colors you see represent nutritional variety. Now, I don't eat anywhere near the 10 daily servings of fruits and veggies I need, so Balance of Nature is the solution. That's the way I give my body what it needs to stay healthy. Now, Debbie and I take these, the six little fruits and veggie capsules every day. Each daily dose is made up of a blend of 31 different fruits and veggies. 31. So variety equals vitality. Give your body what it needs with Balance of Nature. Invest in your health. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for years to come. For a limited time, all new preferred customers get an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code America. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code America. When we last left off in the Iliad, Achilles was comforted by his mother, the sea goddess named Thetis. And when Thetis departs, she goes off to see the blacksmith god Hephaestus to make new armor for Achilles. Now, why does Achilles need new armor? Well, because his armor had been worn by Patroclus. And if you remember, Patroclus' armor was smashed. Smashed in part by the actions of a god, but smashed also by the Trojans. And then after Patroclus was killed, Hector put on Achilles' armor. A very ominous kind of scene, because in some ways Hector was putting on, you might almost say, his own death. taking the armor off the dead man Patroclus, and who's next in line to be killed in the Iliad? Well, in a sense, Hector himself. Now, Achilles has no armor, and remarkably, he gets a message from the messenger god. The messenger god has been sent by Hera, Hera, wife of Zeus, and she tells Achilles, go out there into the battlefield and show yourself to the Trojans. Go stand by the wall, by the ditch, and essentially display the return of Achilles to battle. Now, Achilles is a little bit taken aback. He goes, quote, how can I go to war? They have my armor, and my mother told me not to arm myself until with my own eyes I see her come back with fine weapons from Hephaestus. But Hera says, do it. Quote, just go to the trench and let the Trojans see you. One look will be enough. And the purpose of this is so that the Greeks get full possession of Patroclus' body. While Thetis is consoling Achilles, who's just received news of Patroclus' death, there's a fierce fight going on for Patroclus' body. And Hera's motive here is to terrify the Trojans. They will back off and the Greeks can retrieve Patroclus' body. And then in a very famous scene in the Iliad, we have Achilles do this. Achilles goes forward. I'm going to read. Achilles, whom the gods loved, rose. Around his mighty shoulders, Athena threw her tasseled aegis, her protection, and the shining goddess haloed his head with a golden cloud that shot flames from its incandescent glow. So here's Achilles. He's sort of bare-breasted, not wearing armor, flowing hair, and the gods kind of envelop him. They halo him in fire. So it's almost like this amazing superhero scene of fire shooting out from behind Achilles. And let's remember, the sun is now setting. The sun is dropping down. And when the sun sets, this will be, in fact, the end of the Iliad's longest day. The day that has been largely defined by Hector's glory, Hector's Aristeia, but this glory is now coming to an end. And Achilles is now, you may say, back on the battlefield. Now, not really. This is sort of Achilles, you may almost call it informal return to battle, because he's only showing himself. And then he's going to move back, get his new armor, and then return to battle. The importance of this scene is that the imagery is now reflected in 2,000 years of paintings that show the flame-capped Achilles again silhouetted against the dark night sky. And there's also been poetry that's been written in subsequent centuries. There were poems written, for example, in World War I, a very famous one in which a British soldier who was fighting in the area of Gallipoli actually talks about Achilles. He compares himself, me, like flame-capped Achilles, returning. And by the way, the Battle of Gallipoli was fought in the very area of ancient Troy, which is to say the area around modern-day Turkey. So we see here the way in which the imagery of the Iliad, the oldest epic that we have in our civilization, nevertheless continues to resonate to the present day.
Imagine the lifelong impact of a journey to the Holy Land. Surrounded by like-minded travelers, picture yourself stepping foot in iconic locations right out of Scripture. Join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza on this life-enriching Israel tour, November 30th through December 9th, 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or visit standwithisraeltour.com.
The great theme of the Iliad is the human condition. And one of the remarkable functions of Achilles in the story is that he represents a very odd, anomalous type of human. He is a human, but he's not an ordinary human. He's got some strange connection with the gods. As we'll see, he also appears in some ways subhuman, to have a connection, you could say, with the beasts. And throughout the Iliad, he is contrasted with Hector, who is, in a sense, thoroughly and fully human. Look, for example, at the way in which Hector is a family man, and we see him in all his family roles. He's a brother with a little bit of a questionable, a problematic younger brother, kind of the playboy Paris. He's a devoted son. He has a mother and father. We see his wife, Andromache. We see his baby son, Astyanax. He relates to other people in the community. He's fully part of a Trojan community. Whereas look at Achilles. He's got a mom, but she lives in the sea. She's a goddess. She comes out every now and then, talks to him, but then she disappears. She doesn't really have much to do with him other than these interactions. His father is nowhere on the scene. He's Peleus. He's an old man, and he's apparently alive, but we don't see him in the Iliad at all. Look at the motives for fighting. With Hector, his motive is Troy. It's honor for himself, yes, but it's also protecting his family honor, his father's honor. His father, Priam, is the king of Troy. But with Hector, his motives are entirely his own. I don't want to fight because Achilles took away, Agamemnon took away my concubine. Even when he returns to the fighting, I'm not returning because of Greece. I don't care about Greece per se. I'm returning because my friend has been killed. I'm going to avenge him. So again, Achilles is this solitary figure. And now there is a strain in American culture where this kind of solitary figure is admired. We see this most dramatically in the Western movies. Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, the solitary rider coming in from out of town. In some sense, that is a representation of sort of the rugged individualism of a pioneer society. I do want to emphasize that this idea is completely absent from the societies portrayed in Homer's Iliad. In the ancient world, there was no such thing as a, quote, solitary man. In the ancient world, a solitary man was someone who was to be shunned. In fact, one of the common punishments that you give someone who has violated every rule of your society is banishment. They're banished into a solitary world where, in a sense, all they have is the beasts and all they have is themselves. And this was seen as a terrible curse. So Achilles' isolation is in no way intended to be admirable. Here's a guy marching to his own tune. This is all nonsense from the point of view of Greek society. Human beings live in society. To this degree, Hector is a far more complete person than is Achilles. And we begin to see Achilles' rejection of the human condition in the way that he reacts to the death of Patroclus. First, he says, I will not eat, I will not sleep, I will not bathe. Now, the people around him, they're delighted, of course, that Achilles is returning to battle. Agamemnon, who's a pragmatic warrior, basically says, Achilles, you know, he doesn't say an army marches on a full stomach because he didn't know that phrase, but he knows the idea behind it, which is to say a warrior needs to be prepared. He tells Achilles, Achilles, you need to eat, you need to rest, then go into battle. Achilles says no. Achilles also refuses to bury Patroclus. People tell him he's dead. He now needs to be buried. In fact, it was a Greek belief that if you're not buried, you can't sort of continue into the afterlife. You can't go on to Hades. Your soul, in a sense, is now in this kind of no man's land. So Patroclus needs to be buried. But Achilles will not accept the death of Patroclus. He will not hold a funeral. He refuses to do either, and he is hell-bent or hell-set merely on bloody vengeance, operating in almost the belief, we'll begin to see later, that it's a fantasy, that if he can somehow kill a lot of Trojans and kill Hector, he would in some way retrieve or redeem or rescue or get back the dead Patroclus.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.